Is a Christian a better person than an unchristian? This is one of the questions I like to answer today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This program comes to you each week over this station at this time. In the last several weeks, I have been sharing my life story with you. I normally only share my testimony in churches and schools of my early experiences in Nazi Germany and post-war Germany, where I was born and raised. But this time, I'm going to be going on with my story, because when I was done with sharing with you my German experiences, on my way to church one day, the Lord said, "Tell the rest of the story." So that is what I have been on the last 2 weeks, and I shall continue on that subject today. I shared with you how I came to America, or to the United States, and I shared with you my first experience with the churches I attended in this country. I also shared with you my first experiences on my first jobs as a machinist in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now today, I'm taking you out of the factory in Milwaukee to my first experience at college at the University of Wisconsin. At that time, when I entered the university, I planned to be a doctor, and so I enrolled as a pre-medical student. As you may recall, I found Jesus in 1952 at age 16 in England while I was visiting my grandfather, a Jew, who had escaped the Holocaust in Germany. And so Jesus was very, very important to me. And the most important thing to me, really, when I entered the university studies, was not becoming a doctor, but being a good Christian. And so I witnessed to people about the Lord, and I joined a Christian student organization called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. In no time at all, I was president, and I was leading several Bible studies, and I started Bible studies on the campus. But one of these days, while I was witnessing to one of the students in the cafeteria, the student asked me, "Are you trying to convert me?" And I said, "Of course I'm trying to convert you." And then he says, "Are you a better person for being a Christian than I am for being a non-Christian?" And you know, I gave the standard answer that I've been taught in the church I attended. And I said, "No," I says, "I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. It's just the only difference is that I'm a saved sinner." And he said, "Then what's the point of becoming a Christian?" And my friend, that really, really shook me up. And so a few more weeks passed by, and I came to the point of almost total disillusionment with Christianity. Now, I was not going to give up on Jesus. I was not going to give up on obeying the Lord as much as I could, but I was just discouraged, because although I witnessed, and although I went to church, and although I prayed half an hour or 2 hours a day and read my Bible, I had lost my joy a long time ago. Christianity had become boring, predictable, and unexciting. Oh yes, I had this great joy at my conversion at 16 years of age of Christ coming into my life, but that was now a historical joy and no longer a present joyous experience. And because of this rather negative feeling I had, I said to the Lord, "Lord, would you please take me out of this world? Would you please just let me die?" I was 19 years now. Or I said, "Could you give me a painless disease so I could withdraw from these hectic university studies?" Because on top of studying 17 credit hours a semester, I was also a lab technician in a chocolate factory. I worked a part of the night, and then I was president of the student organization. I was a very busy person. I said, "Lord, could you just either take my life or take me out of this difficult situation and give me a painless disease?" Well, the next morning, as I was brushing my teeth, I had blood in my mouth. And I was so excited and thrilled Because you see, my father died of tuberculosis in East Germany just before the Russians came to our city. I knew immediately what my problem was. I had a painless disease. And so I called the university and I found out that the next day a mobile X-ray unit would be on the campus to check students for tuberculosis. And I was the second student in that trailer to be X-rayed. And glory to God, yes, it was confirmed through the X-ray and through skin tests that I had tuberculosis. So I was admitted to a sanatorium. It's kind of like a hospital, but it's just a place that's specialized in people with tuberculosis. And I only took my Bible with me. And as I was lying in bed in this hospital or sanatorium, I read the Bible. And I read and I read and I prayed and I prayed. And I said, Lord, would you please help me to forget everything the church has ever taught me? And would you please teach me by the Holy Spirit? Now, you see, the church I attended at that time was a church that was very strong on salvation, on having experience with God, but I already had that. And I wanted more. Isn't there anything more? Every service was about salvation and getting this experience and how great it was. But it wasn't really that great as it appears to the people who sat in the pews, because when it's time to singing the hymns, it was rather a subdued singing. There was not much excitement in the singing. And then they were all anxious to leave the church in 1 hour, and then nobody, or practically I should say, nobody witnessed to Jesus about their great experience. So it was really a dried up experience for practically everyone, but I was one of the few that said, I want more. Whatever it costs me, if I die to get it, I want more. There's got to be more to Christianity than that. Every service there was an altar call. Even if the pastor knew everybody was saved, there still was the altar call. So I said, Jesus, now would you please teach me by the Holy Spirit? Well, while I was there, I was privileged, first of all, before I got far into the Bible, to lead my younger brother to Jesus. And then I was privileged to lead another student to the Lord Jesus who came to visit me. And so I had my first converts there in that sanatorium. But after some time transpired, a holiness preacher came by my bedside. He was also a patient, but he was not as bad of his eye, and he had walking privileges. And he was a man that was about 6'4". His shoulders were as broad as a barn door, and he stood erect as erect could be, and he was probably in his late 60s or 70s, and he was blonde and blue-eyed, and there was something of the fire and the glory of God coming out of him. It seemed like the Shekinah glory was on him all the time. So he made the rounds and witnessed to patients, and he came to my bedside, and immediately he began to share with me scriptures about holiness, and particularly the one that speaks about, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, I've been indoctrinated to believe that, you know, once you are born again, once you have this conversion experience, it doesn't make any difference how you live or what you do, you are going to make it to heaven anyhow. And now this preacher comes along and he has scripture after scripture after scripture on the importance of holiness. And I came back with all the scriptures I had on what some people call eternal security. And we were going on and on and on. And finally, I ran out of scriptures and he kept going on and on and on. Well, as I looked at his face, I saw the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. And I thought to myself, if I would look in the mirror and look at my face, I knew I would not see the glory of the Lord upon my face. So he had something I didn't have. So I said to him, his name was Reverend Hollingsworth. I said, Brother Hollingsworth, what is it that you have that I don't have, and where can I find it? And so he said to me, I will not tell you my experience. I will not tell you how I got it, but I don't want you to think I'm trying to indoctrinate you, but I want you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8. And I believe God will take you from there. And with those words, he left. Well, what do you think I did? Well, I began to read Romans 6, 7, and 8. And I found that the Apostle Paul there talks about something that we call the carnal nature. That once we are converted, although our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, there is the residue of this carnal, selfish, Adamic nature within us that is contrary, that's opposed to everything that God is in. It's this carnal nature that is critical, it's analytical, it's judgmental, it's divisive, it's envious, it's jealous, it's full of lust and greed and pride, and it is this thing that I still had within me. Although I was born again, that was not taken care of at the rebirth. It was obvious it was in me, and God needed to slay it out of me for me to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. You see, it is his carnal nature that fills our prisons, that creates trouble in the classrooms, that breaks up marriages, that causes division and strife in our churches. So I found Paul saying in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death. I need a deliverance from this death within me. But I'll continue on all that a little later. Let me go back now to my sickness. Now, after several months of this, the doctors came by my bedside and they said, the medication is not working on you. And we have given your bacillus, tuberculous bacillus, and injected it into a guinea pig. And we tried some other medication, and the guinea pig died. And so these doctors stood around my bedside, and he said, we have no hope for you. In other words, you are going to die. Well, dear friends, I want to end with this rather interesting note. We'll continue next week. So get a pencil, get a piece of paper, and this is what you want to do. You want to write to us. So next week we'll continue with the story of a young man who was looking for more than just an experience of conversion and was willing to die to find it. Our Father, we pray now that you will continue to work in every heart that's been listening. Dear Jesus, because it says in the writings of the Apostle Paul that Christ is in us and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Lord, since you are such the great treasure, the greatest treasure of all treasures in the world, there ought to be a thrill and excitement in our hearts and lives every hour of the day. And if it's not there, there's something wrong somewhere, and somehow perhaps we're not connected as we ought to be connected. So we ask for your help, O Lord, help us to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection, as we are admonished to do by the great Apostle Paul. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now, until next week.